Like she said, my name is Christy Edwards, and even though I work with Potash Corp now, I'll be talking about some of my work that I did with my dissertation at Kansas State with Dr. Dorvar Rezdias, looking at the residual and direct fertilizer effects of phosphorus fertilizer on soybeans. So a brief overview. I'll go into the experiment, the objectives, the treatments that we use, results, and then once we get to the results, I'll break it apart into soybean yield and then also look at an economic analysis of those various treatments. All right, so the experiment. We had a 10-year long study based in Kansas utilizing a minimum tillage system or strip till. So there were more treatments. There were 12 treatments total, but for the purpose of this talk, I'm only going to focus on four specific treatments. So two main premises were that fertilizer was applied before corn in the two-year rotation, which is pretty common in Kansas for a corn-soybean rotation, and then actually directly fertilizing beans. So as you can see here in the diagram, where we broadcasted triple superphosphate, so a phosphorus-only source. Our starter was using a 10-34-0, and if the treatment received a broadcast application to soybeans, it was using triple superphosphate. So our four treatments, again, the broadcast and starter was applied before corn at two different rates, 20 and 40 kilograms of P per hectare. The starter was applied at 10 kilograms of P per hectare, so the additional fertilizer to reach that rate was applied as a broadcast. So then we had two additional treatments where a soybean application was made at 20 kilograms of P per hectare. So a total rate here in the third one of 40 kilograms of P and 60 kilograms of P in the final treatment. Again, the broadcast and starter applied before corn, and then an additional 20 kilograms of P applied to the soybeans. So when we actually look at our objectives, I mean, I tried to lay this out as simple as possible. We wanted to look at rate. So two different rates applied before corn and to see their residual effects on soybean. When looking at timing, we wanted to look at the soybean response to split fertilizer applications. So the same rate, but that 20 kilograms of P was applied to the soybeans for a total of 40 for the two-year rotation. And then finally, rate and timing, looking at the additional fertilizer application to soybeans. So assuming that the total rate that was applied before corn would not be enough to satisfy both crops, and an additional application was made. And then finally, I actually applied the economics to this to see if the increase in soybean yields actually offset the fertilizer costs in some treatments and the actual application costs. So getting into the results, both of my graphs are going to be laid out like this with four separate sections, looking at the three objectives from the top. Okay, so we had rate, timing, and then the rate by timing. We have soybean yield on our x-axis in megagrams per hectare. So looking at our first objective, two phosphorus rates applied before corn, we see significant increases in soybean yield. Okay, we kind of expected that. Higher rates, higher soybean yield. But if we look at timing, so these were applied at the same fertilizer rate for phosphorus, but the application was split for the two-year rotation to include the first bar, which is all fertilizer applied before the corn, the second bar, which increased soybean yield with the split application of half before corn and half to soybeans. So fertilizer soybeans, but anyway. So then looking at rate and time, this is the additional fertilizer application to soybeans. So we're actually increasing the rate by 20 kilograms of P per hectare. And so we can tell at both the low, sorry, I was trying to get this to come up, at the low rate and at the high rate, we still had increased soybean response to additional fertilizer. Now, the highest rate, which is the 60 kilograms of P per hectare, we actually saw the highest soybean yield. So why are we seeing responses to fertilizer for soybeans? Well, if we're thinking about a two-year rotation, we could potentially see higher removal rates, depending on the year, for corn in that two-year rotation, so insufficient rates for the soybean production. However, we could also see a buildup of soil test levels with those higher application rates. So again, we saw our highest soybean yields with that 60 kilograms of P and also fertilizing beans in that treatment. So specifically for this study, our removal rates were around application rates for the 20 and the 40, but for the 60, we would see a buildup of the soil test P over time. And then another thing to consider is that soybeans might be the most responsive crop to phosphorus fertilizer in that rotation. So I know of some studies that have actually came out and showed that soybeans respond to being fertilized as opposed to building soil test levels. So then looking at the economics portion, we calculated partial net returns compared to the control treatment. So the control plots received the strip till, they received the same nitrogen rates, but just no phosphorus fertilizer. We took the treatment income minus the cost of the treatment, which would include fertilizer cost, application cost, and divide it by the cost of the control plots times 100. Now with doing this, we had to make some assumptions. We used several scenarios of different prices, but for this presentation, I'll stick with the 10-year average for this 10-year study for fixed costs and fixed prices. So assuming that the soybean price is 39 cents per kilogram, fertilizer cost for the triple superphosphate would have been 62 cents per kilogram, the broadcast application at $10.64 per hectare, and the starter application at $3 per hectare. All of these values were taken from the Iowa State custom survey, so pretty typical of the values that we would see in the Midwest. All right, so same graph as earlier, split up into four separate sections, and note that we saw a significant increase with each treatment as we went across whenever we were talking about yield. But when looking at the net return compared to the control plots as a percent, so the control plot would be zero. If we're looking at rate, we were comparing 20 and 40 kilograms of P applied before corn. There were no significant differences between the net return. So even though we saw that increase in soybean yield, the soybean yield was not high enough to offset the cost of that additional fertilizer. Now, if we're looking at the timing was same rate of fertilizer. However, it was split into half before corn and half after corn. We see significantly lower net return compared to the control. So again, those soybean yields did not offset that extra $10.64 per hectare that we saw with the split application. And then finally, when we get to rate and timing, so these two treatments would have included extra fertilizer for the soybean application and an extra pass of that $10.64 per hectare. Neither scenario resulted in high enough soybean yields to offset those additional costs. So kind of in summary, soybeans did not offset cost for rate applied before corn. Timing did not offset cost for the split application to soybeans and did not offset the direct fertilizer application to soybeans. However, these results may change on a year-to-year. For instance, the soybean yields were averaged over 10 years, and the prices and costs were also averaged. So on a year-to-year basis, we might potentially see differences. However, that's another step forward. So some practical applications. We are seeing long-term responses to rate and timing. And we do need to take into account the economics behind it because we want it to be profitable for farmers. However, minimizing environmental impacts. Farmers may potentially be losing yield due to limited fertilization for their soybeans, especially if they're only fertilizing for multiple crops at one time. But these yields might not offset the cost of application and fertilizer costs. And I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't mention our economics website, where we try to promote the use of phosphorus and potassium fertilizer. We try to post stories that are sound agronomy. And I'll take any questions.
We've got about 4 minutes for questions, if anybody has any questions for Christy.
Yes.
What would you speculate for the agriculture of this work we've done with Peter being injected and no-till offering the stripped operations to the project?
I actually have those results if you want to talk about it later. But they showed, he said, what if the phosphorus would have been injected or applied with the strip-till unit? And if you're already performing the strip tillage, there's no economic benefit to making a broadcast application since those application costs would be included in the strip-till pass. But yields, on the other hand, yields were about the same as broadcast whenever you looked at like 10-year averages. So.
That was roughly what the soil test level.
When it began, the soil test levels were low, single digits. We actually soil sampled this at the 8-year mark and then again at the 10-year, and then we actually looked at the soil test P distribution, but soil test levels, depending on the plot, range from single digits up to 80 part per million, depending. Yeah. Yes.
So is triple superphosphate widely used in soybean rotation?
It is not. Triple superphosphate is not widely used in Kansas, but when the study was established, they wanted to assure that there was no nitrogen effect, but nitrogen was balanced from the strip-till applications using 1034-0 and the starter.
Because hardly anybody uses triple super anymore.
Yes, and it was kind of hard to get our hands on it.
Still want to use it. Because it doesn't have any nitrogen, so
yeah.
You try to move beyond the triple super and the super.
We should. Yes.
The highest rate treatment wasn't quite profitable, but it wasn't that much of a difference. So I question this. We're just looking at the 3-year activity. Would there be residual effects from some of those rates that really weren't captured in the period of time that you evaluated this?
So let me see if I've got your question right. So he is asking about the residual effects from the high rate, which was the 60 kilograms of P per hectare, which was 40 applied before corn, and then the 60 to soybeans. So we would see a short-term effect of P response, but your question is about 3 years.
I thought we were looking at 3 years of data here. I'm just wondering about the residual effects, if they would have had additional effects beyond the term of your study.
Oh, yes. No, actually, this was a 10-year study.
Time for maybe one more quick question. All right, well, thank you very much, Christine.
Thank you, Sally.